Well, as regular listeners know, over the past few weeks, we've been focusing on several of the higher profile fundraisers that come up each spring. This morning, we're going to talk about one that takes place next Saturday, the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure. Janice Sell joins us this morning. Good morning, Janice.
Good morning.
Janice is a surgery scheduler at Upstate, and actually, you've been the captain of the Upstate team for quite a while, haven't you?
Yes, for 12 years now.
12 years, and you have a personal reason for being involved.
Yes, first and foremost, I schedule a lot of breast cancer surgeries, so that means a lot to me for our patients, and my aunt was also diagnosed with breast cancer.
She was, and so you race for the cure in her honor. That's
absolutely
wonderful. Who is Susan G. Komen?
She is a woman that was diagnosed with breast cancer a number of years ago, and she was struggling through her treatment, and her sister, Nancy Brinker, and her were very close, and Nancy promised Susan that she would find a cure for breast cancer, and this has been her challenge, and she created the Komen Race for the Cure for this.
It's the major fundraiser then for the race?
It is the primary. That and the three-day walk, I believe, is their major fundraisers.
And what's interesting to me, and I did a little bit of research before we spoke this morning, I looked into how much of the money that is raised is actually used for the goals of the Susan G. Komen Foundation. Let's talk about what those goals are, first of all. What are they?
Well, first and foremost, it's to eradicate breast cancer.
Okay.
So 70% of the monies raised stays here locally for programs here in Central New York. And not only Central New York, the outlying areas for underprivileged women and men that need mammography and treatment and have no insurance.
Uh-huh. And there's also money that is raised for screening, the breast cancer screening.
Absolutely.
And for education, and then, of course, research.
Yes.
And that's what's going to lead us to a cure. But what I loved about it is that overall, for the national organization, 87% of all the money raised goes toward those patient-centric things.
Absolutely.
It's not just administrative costs. And that's really huge as far as I'm concerned. Now, let's talk about the Race for the Cure, because really it's just a whole fun morning, isn't it,
of all kinds
of activities. Talk about some of the activities.
Well, first of all, you get like 6,000 or 7,000 people at the New York State Fairgrounds.
It's huge. I was there last year. I couldn't get over it.
And it's overwhelming. And they have a survivor's tent where they acknowledge all the survivors. And all the survivors wear pink. And they parade the survivors down to the stage, the coal muffler stage. And they honor them, and they sing songs, and it's just wonderful, and it's very moving.
It's like this huge sisterhood, isn't
it? Oh, it is.
And there are some men.
There are some men.
And bless their hearts, because they're there too. But
In
terms of the women who are there, it's almost overwhelming.
It is. It's very emotional, and it means so much for their families as well.
It does. But now there are some fun things going on, too. There's a kids' walk for the cure.
Yes, they're trying to get the kids more involved, and the kids are very excited about it. We have a lot of schools that join up as teams, and these kids are really motivated, which is nice to see them to do something volunteer-wise for our community.
Absolutely. And in many cases, they're the children and grandchildren of some of the survivors,
aren't
they?
Definitely, yes.
And then this year, there's a wheelchair event.
Absolutely, and that's very exciting as well, and I think people are excited about that, too, because we're acknowledging those people as well.
Absolutely. So let's talk about some of the details quickly. It's next Saturday, May 16th.
Yes.
And where is it being held?
At the New York State Fairgrounds.
Right. And it was there last year, too.
It's been there for the past 5 or 6 years now, I believe.
There you go. Opening ceremonies begin.
I think they begin at 8:30.
Well, actually, I have here that they begin at 8, but the Survivor Walk begins at 8:30.
Okay.
So let's make sure people get there in time.
Excellent.
And then they have activities all through the morning.
Yes.
Where can they get more information?
They can go to the website, which is www.komencny.org.
Very good. And we'll also put a link from our Health Link on air website.
And there's
too.
Phone numbers there too if they can't get through with a computer. I think it's 472-6162 is the Komen Foundation.
Very good. Well, Janice Sell, thanks so much for coming by this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Well, listeners, the voice you're about to hear is a familiar voice. We don't usually hear from him until later on in the show, but Jim Capodolli is joining us from the Health Information Center at the Upstate Library. Jim, you've got some resources for swine flu, H1N1, and you've been monitoring things pretty closely. Talk to us about it.
Well, on the Upstate Medical University webpage, we have what's called RSS news feeds. RSS stands for Real Simple Syndication.
Right.
You might have seen them around different web pages. And this is a way of compiling several news sources into one web page. So when a news source updates its information, it gets updated on our page as well.
So it's kind of like one-stop shopping. I can go to your web page and I can see you've got information from, what, different news outlets?
News outlets, both print and video outlets, we have RSS feeds.
Okay. So can I get, like, there's international news about swine flu, there's national news about swine flu, and then we have local. Can I get all of those?
Well, you can. In fact, one of our RSS feeds is the Syracuse.com, which we can find information on, like, a school closing or some local event might have happened.
Or a school's unclosing. Or school,
right, which happened recently, right.
Right. And then what about the county? I know that Dr. Cynthia Morrow, who has been, she's been everywhere, and yes, it's been wonderful because she's been able to keep us updated. Have you got feeds from there, too?
Oh, we do. We have links to the health department for Onondaga County, but also other health departments. We feel that since we cover, you know, several areas, we have links to those health departments to see what's, any developments are happening there in Madison, Oneida, Cayuga, and others.
All around Central New York.
Yes.
Excellent. Let's talk for a minute about some of the information we're getting from the CDC and the World Health Organization. It's been excellent information. There has been a ton of information. How are we supposed to sort these things out?
I don't know. I think, but the CDC does a good job of summarizing. Mm-hmm. They have information, and if you know, for health professionals, and they have some for consumers and patients. And I think they summarize it very well.
They do. I've noticed that they put things in terms that we laymen can understand, you know, if we're not medical professionals. You know, and they've also gotten real involved in some of the social media.
Yes, I was going to mention that. They are now involved with Facebook and MySpace and Twitter. And they're trying to reach out to every possible constituency as far as getting health information out.
They really have done a remarkable job. Yeah. As time goes on and we look at swine flu and H1N1, and we know now this is not going to be a short-term thing. It's going to last, now they're talking about, at least into the fall. Mm-hmm. Are you going to be able to keep all of this updated?
Oh, we are. Because unfortunately for the RSS feeds, that's kind of done for us. Mm-hmm. But we'll continue to, you know, monitor other health websites and link to those as necessary.
Okay, let's give us the address, if you will.
You mean www.upstate.edu?
Yes, and then have you got something on the homepage?
Right in the homepage, as well as at the library page and the Health Information Center page as
well. And we'll make sure that we put links from the HealthLink On Air website as well, too. Well, Jim Cappadoli, you'll be back later with some more resources for us. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's checkup from the neck up. Unhappy Mother's Day, or just the right gift for all ages. Well, dear listeners, when my wife and I had our first child, we got a congratulations card from some friends. On the front was a beaming couple holding a baby, and the words, "Your first baby, oh joy, oh wonder, a miracle." We opened the card, and inside it said, "Save this card and read it during those 4 a.m. feedings." Boy, were they right. All the same, I was really surprised by some research I saw the other day. Turns out, happiness levels of couples drops significantly after having children and doesn't go up again until after the kids leave home. Now, I knew that our long-term happiness takes a big hit with chronic illness or disability, or if we don't have good relationships with other people, but that was a real surprise about kids. The most likely explanation is that moms, and dads for that matter, put their energy and time and money into taking care of the kids, making Junior and Missy happy, and don't care for themselves or each other as much. And that only goes on for about 20 years or so. Bearing that in mind, I've got the perfect gift for us to give our moms on Mother's Day. This gift will not only make her and you feel good emotionally right then, but in the long run too, and probably improve your relationship, give you more energy and feel better physically, sharpen your wits and help keep them sharp, and protect you both from becoming disabled and dying prematurely and unhappy. What is it? A gift certificate for a pair of walking shoes. And a promise to go strolling with mom from time to time when she wants to. Yep, regular easy strolling doesn't have to be a power walk, does all those things. And if we make a date to do it with someone else, we're more likely to enjoy it and stick with the plan. And doing something we both want to do together makes us feel better about each other. So scrap the flowers and write out an IOU for a pair of comfy walkers of her choice, or even better, call her up to go for a walk with you, give her the certificate, and while you're out for a stroll, go by the florist and get her the flowers too. After all, I don't know about you, but 20 years of me is quite a bit and probably deserves a big bouquet as well. And if you keep it up for a few years and your kids have a kid, you and your spouse can stroll over to your kid's house and do oh joy, oh miracle with the proud parents, play with the grandkid, and go home chuckling about how bleary-eyed they look. I'm Dr. Rich O'Neill. Thanks for listening.